This is Free America broadcasting on the Rod Echols Show with a message to all patriots trapped behind the lines in California, New York, Boston, and Chicago. Don't give up, true lovers of America. Even as we speak, moves are being made to drive the invaders back to the land from which they came. Defeat the would-be dictators and lift the chains of tyranny from around your neck. Stay strong. Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
And ecclesiastites all around the globe. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from an undisclosed location. Somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is Wednesday, hump day, September number 12 in the year of our Lord, 2018. Yes, we have the Intel report, the second half of that interview coming up in the second hour of the program. Got an announcement. We've been, I've actually had somebody who's a consultant listening in and giving me some tips and pointers and been hemming and hawing about it and have come up with a decision on what I believe is going to be the final change in the format of the program coming up starting on Monday. And it's good because all it's going to do is just increase the content of the program, folks. But it makes sense. We talked about it, and it makes sense that we'll make this. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the change is. You're just going to have to be here on Monday to find out and be here on time. That's the only hint I'm going to give you. Be here on time before you so you can get the full effect of the content or the format change, not the content. The content is just going to get bigger, better, badder, and all that kind of wonderful stuff. Always looking at ways to improve. Never rest on your laurels. Never, ever. With that said, this is also, again, a call-in program, and I had somebody try to take me to task on Gab. Yeah, well, we can't call in anyway, so what's the point? I'm like, yeah, you can. That's why I give out the number. That's why there's the number in that post that you're responding to or the Gab that you're responding to. There's a phone number there for you to call. And that phone number is 603-499-7325. And I realize something. I can put a phone number there. And somebody won't even read the Gab or the tweet enough to find out that there's a phone number, and they'll accuse me of not having a phone number so they can call. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I've seen some really crazy stuff before, but I'm thinking, are we not looking at the same damn post? So I am convinced that people are not out. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're reading. I don't know what they're viewing. But they're obviously not reading everything. They're not listening to everything. They're not watching the whole video or whatever it is. Because these people are complaining about stuff or shouting about stuff that is in the post or the video. Well, you don't have a number to call in anyway. The number is in the tweet that you're responding to. What more do you want me to say? Oh, I'm sorry. It was at the end of the tweet, not the beginning of the tweet. Now, I guess these people only either read the first couple of words or watch the first couple of seconds of the video, because otherwise they just don't, they miss it. And I'm beside myself with this kind of stuff. I mean, look, you can't force anybody to listen or read your stuff. I get that. And I'm not trying to force people to listen or read or watch or anything like that. But if you're going to complain about something, you better know what you're complaining about. Because if you're going to complain that I don't have a phone number and the phone number is in the tweet that you're responding to or the gab that you're responding to, it makes you look like a complete... But you know what? It doesn't matter how much of an ass or an idiot these people look like. Their side... You wouldn't believe how many times their side, somebody on their side, you know, likes that their post. Why would you like somebody's post when they're completely sounding like they're batshit crazy? I don't know. I don't get it. Somebody will tell a proven lie and a bunch of people will like it. And I'm scratching my head thinking, we do know that people do know that this has been, this whatever it is, has been proven or disproven or what have you, you know, a million times, a million ways a Sunday. You know, Trump's a racist, and that's all I get to do. You know, if I just simply wanted to garner a bunch of likes on Facebook and Twitter, all I'd have to do is just put out a post that says Trump's a racist, retweet, and I'd get within an hour I'd probably get 500 likes. Irrespective of the fact that it has been disproven time and time again that Trump is not, you know, he's definitely not a racist. All I have to do, if I wanted to go that route, that's all I would have to. And all, you know, people just press that stupid little like button. It doesn't matter if it's true. It's an amazing thing. Absolutely, I'm, you know, that kind of stuff. Honestly, I got to be honest, folks. I'm always honest with you. But I got to tell you, I know I hide it well sometimes, but that kind of a response really makes me shake my head, hang it low, and say there's no hope. I almost believe that. Almost. Because when it's something that obvious, I mean, and you get people that actually like something that is that idiotic? I just look up and say, you know, where is the love of God gone? I mean, this is just insanity. They don't care. They don't care to talk about anything. They don't care about the truth. It's all, you know what? You wonderful baby boomers, all I can say is thank you for raising generation this wonderful millennial generation. You've raised a bunch of snobbish, whiny little mamby-pamby people. They can't take no. Remember, you don't spank children. You put them in time out. No, if they did something bad, you beat their ass. Oh, little Johnny, little Susie, you don't like, you know, broccoli? Okay, well, I'll get you some jelly beans. It's like beans. No, they don't get dessert if they don't eat their broccoli. I mean, look, we've got a bunch of kids who are now adults, and they're as old as 38 years old, and they're still acting like little kids because they all got participation trophies instead of learning the agony of defeat. Anybody know... Did you know that they stopped, CBS Sports stopped using that? Not because it was outdated, but because they couldn't change that one part, so they decided to get rid of all of it. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That's not allowed anymore. You know, you're not supposed, when you're in elementary school and middle school and even high school in some cases, you're not supposed to be so thrilled about your victory. You're supposed to feel sorry for the vanquished team. I mean, they're still running around playing soccer without keeping score. The score is not important. Bullshit, it's not important. It's very important. Otherwise, why are you doing it? You're playing for the love of the game. Part of the love of the game is to win. So they got rid of that you know, the CBS Sports thing, you know, because of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. So these kids grew up not knowing, no. And so when we tell, and as they became young adults, they got to understand and feel, oh, we got Obama twice, yes and yes. We want Hillary, we're going to get Hillary. No, you don't tell me no. And they've been having a year and a half long, nearly 2 year long temper tantrum since America told them no to Hillary. And folks, this carries over into the media. I mean, yesterday we had the primary election here in New Hampshire. Now, our one and only TV station, WMUR Channel 9, now we get more than one channel, obviously, because they come out of Boston. But we have one television station that is based in New Hampshire. Everything else comes out of Boston. Well, it depends on what part of the state you're in. If you're, you know, if you're in northern part of the state, you're probably getting your other channels out of Burlington, Vermont, or Portland, Maine. But for the most part, we're, you know, most of New Hampshire, they have WMUR, Channel 9. That is our local station. And the rest of the ABC, CBS, NBC, all you know, those the rest of those come out of Boston. Fine. So we have our local station. You know, Vermont has their local state station out of Burlington. You know, Maine has theirs out of Portland. Great. Not an issue. Except when it comes to this primary. WMUR, which has its own news group, can't even do its own work on our primary. The last update they had was 11:35 p.m. last night about our primary. The only information that they have about our primary election results is a chart from AP. And the chart from AP only shows the results from one congressional district and only shows the Democrat side. Now I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I'm at the WMUR website, right? Yes. WMUR, Channel 9 on the dial, New Hampshire, right? Yes. They don't even have a list of their own results. They last updated 11:35 p.m. last night, and the one that the chart that they're using is an AP chart. They didn't even do their own work. And the AP chart only lists the first congressional district results for the Democrats. You know, there is a Republican primary, too, on the first congressional district. By the way, it looks like Eddie Edwards may win the primary. Now, he's ahead. I don't know if I can't get any updated results anywhere on this, folks. Honestly, I've been looking all morning long. You know, the best I can get is 77 of 110, 100 and something precincts reporting or something. Like, no, I that was last night at 11 p.m. when I looked. Nothing's changed. And everything I have this morning, you know, they all talk about the Democrats winning. You know, who the Democrat win. Oh, by the way, Bernie Sanders' son Levi got trounced. Out of seven candidates for the Democrat nomination, he came in fifth. So that's good to know. Good to know that New Hampshire isn't really going the way of the Sanders at this particular point. And it's good to know that what's her name? She moved in from out west. She did. She tried to pull a Hillary Clinton here in New Hampshire, and she did. She came in second, though, but she didn't win. And that's scary and disgusting enough that she'd come in second place. It's all Democratic. It's all Democrat Party information. At least for here in this state. I know I haven't been covering a lot of the primary races across the country because they're really not, they're state individual specific. And because I live here, this is something that I would cover. But I don't cover the Massachusetts stuff. I don't cover any of the state primaries because that's see, this is a problem. Now, the reason why it's not that WMUR has decided to outsource their services in this particular regard. Well, yeah, that's a problem because primaries are local. They're a local issue. You don't rely on national people to tell you about your local issues. I mean, when it comes to the Texas should be covering the Texas primaries ad nauseum. Massachusetts should be covering Massachusetts primaries ad nauseum. And New Hampshire should be covering New Hampshire primaries ad nauseum. These are all local. They have nothing to do with, and I hate it when we get all honestly, I do. I hate it when we get all these national people and national figures come trouncing in here on primary day and endorsing candidates. Now, I get how it works. You know, I fully understand that Giuliani and a couple of other national figures came in and endorsed Eddie Edwards, and that's not a bad thing, but it is. Because it means an undue amount of outside influence. It's not just with Eddie Edwards. It happens everywhere. And primaries are supposed to be local. Your state elections are supposed to be local. I can't tell you how, you know, look, I get people who don't even live anywhere near Texas saying, you would support Ted Cruz, liar Ted, lying Ted. Like, have you seen the stuff that I've seen about Beto? Are you kidding me? You're complaining because because Donald Trump called Ted lying Ted. And so, yeah, maybe Ted has lied a little bit. Not denying it. But if that's the reason that you're going to count him out, have you seen Beto? Well, that doesn't matter. We don't need Ted anymore. Wait. I thought it was because you didn't like Ted's lies. It has nothing to do with his lies then, obviously, if you're going to support Beto. But you can't support Beto because you don't live in Texas. Well, it's everybody's interest because it's a national office. No, wrong. The Senate race in Texas is not the purveyance of the entire country. It is only to deal with Texas. Now, I understand that they go to Washington, D.C., and they all form different cabals, and they can do different things at a national level. But let me tell you something. It is not any of California's business who Texas elects for their state senator or for their congressman. It is nobody's business other than those of us here in New Hampshire who we put into office. Yes, they work on a national level, but they're supposed to represent us. It's not any of New York's business who we elect in New Hampshire. Yet they'll come traipsing through here and talk about, you know, who we should vote for. It's none of your damn business who we vote for. I mean, we have to understand that these things are... Look, Tip O'Neill once said, all politics is local. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way our Constitution is written. We don't have... The only national representative we have is the president. That's it. But everybody wants to try to treat every single office in D.C. as a national office. It's not. Come on. Even in ancient Rome, the Senate was based on different districts of the Roman Empire. They didn't all come from the same damn, well, basically, kind of like our Washington, D.C., they came from the same damn place, but they represent, they supposedly represented different parts of the empire. So it's not a new concept here in the United States. It is nobody else's business outside of your district who runs and who you vote for. It shouldn't be. It's not supposed to be. You know, we did have a few founding fathers that did warn us about the party system and parties. They didn't like parties. And this is part of the problem. I would not be adverse to getting rid of the party system here in this country. I wouldn't. And not because I don't believe that people should be able to, you know, birds of a feather should flock together or tend to flock together. I mean, I get that. You can form coalitions without having a party. The party system has always been, it does not matter how far back in history you go. The so-called party system in governance has always fallen to complete and utter and total corruption. And our system is no different. You can have a single party or you can have 3 to 5 parties like some countries do. It doesn't matter. The party system is really antithetical to human freedom. It really is. I'm sorry, did I just use a $10 word? I chastised a few people yesterday for using a bunch of... Well, I only do it every once in a while. It's not like I ever use it every sentence. But in any case, welcome aboard this Wednesday. We've got the second half of the Intel report from last week. Give you a quick recap when that time comes up. And we've got the second half of that interview with Source D with Agent 0010. We've got some more information on the election process that's been going on. Some more stuff on the economy. What's been happening in... schools are back in session, and I know you probably heard about the school where the kids were chanting USA USA, and the kids are now being accused of being racist out there. Well, it's California, right? Yeah. Plus some border news. I'm talking about border, as in California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, border stuff. Got that stuff going on, and a whole bunch of more today. So you're going to want to hang around and listen to the entire program. I do want to thank, we've got a new mirror, a mirroring site that's up. I guess they're a new site. It's called American One. So welcome aboard for Mary. I guess they're a new group of people. They said, we want to mirror your program. Go right ahead. Take the RSS feed. You can do it. So welcome America. Well, I don't know, if you're listening over on America One, if they've started broadcasting now over there, I'm not sure. I didn't check this morning. But welcome aboard America One for mirroring. Now, if some people ask, well, don't you syndicate? Well, mirroring is not really syndication. It's just taking an RSS feed. Well, I guess it can be, but we're not really trying to do that here at this point. But if people want to mirror the program, I really don't have an issue. Just let me know who you are and where you're putting it. That's all. But in any case, I don't know if they started mirroring as of today, but if they have, welcome aboard. If they haven't, well, as soon as you do, let me know and I'll welcome you again. Any case, you can't chant USA USA in the USA in the state of California because it's right. By the way, speaking of racism, you won't believe what Chicago wants to do now. Chicago, of all, Rahm Emanuel. Folks, you want to talk about slavery being reborn? I'll tell you all about this Chicago plan after the break. Don't go anywhere. You're going
to
love this.
The Rod Eccles Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Welcome back. 603-499-7325. 603-499-7325 is the official hot rod line to the program. If you wish to utilize that within the 3 hour live time frame of the program. Is that enough time for people to call in? 3 hours? Just making sure. I don't really want to do a 4 hour show. I mean, there's a guy who's been doing it for years around here, but goes by the name of Howie Carr. He's an author, best-selling author, and columnist for the Herald, which is the more conservative of the two daily newspapers here in the Boston area. Well, you know, we have the union leader here in New Hampshire, which tends to be leans more conservative. Although they've been getting more and more as they get farther and farther away from the founding family, the Loeb family. Nacky Loeb stepped down years ago. She passed away years ago too. You know, the wife of the founder of the paper, or the previous owner, not the founder. The Loeb family was owned the paper, but they've been getting more and more leftist editorial staff in there. So it's kind of shifted, but they still tend, when they endorse candidates, that most of the candidates that they endorse tend to be Republicans. Like they endorsed Eddie Edwards for the first congressional district here. Get rid of that nasty woman, Annie Custer. God, you people over there, it's not my district, but I'm just telling you, you people in New Hampshire land, in the first congressional district, you really need to get rid of that nasty woman. She's just stuff that, oh my God, she's just a mean woman. Now I'm not saying that she's corrupt, you know, I don't think she's corrupt like Hillary Clinton, but she's just a nasty woman. The things that have come out of her mouth, you know, even on a hot mic, but off the record, that's things that she has said. I've heard her say, just pretty nasty. And she's got a mouth. She's got a sailor's mouth on her too. Good God Almighty! Sometimes it's cute when a woman swears, but when they just drop the F bomb and other types of, you know, distasteful language, just to be rough and gruff, I suppose, it's not very becoming. Well, yeah, I'm kind of old fashioned. I believe that there's a way that men should speak, but not in the presence of ladies. And there's a way that ladies should speak too. To this day, I refuse to swear in front of my mother. And yet I hear some people, I mean, they cuss up a storm like they're a drunken sailor in front of their mother and grandmother. And I'm thinking, what the hell? And not just, well, you know, it's bad enough if boys do it, but not just boys, girls. And sometimes I'll step in and say, excuse me, language? And they're like, what? What? This is your mother. Oh, she doesn't care. Are you kidding me? Yeah, well, that's where we've come so far. I think the worst thing I've said in front of my mother is hell. Maybe I said damn. But I will, you know, even then, it's like, I probably shouldn't have said that. I don't swear in front of my mother. It's just out of respect. I think that's a lot of the problem that we have today with, you know, we'll get into some of this other stuff, too, later today, these threats on Trump and everything. It's just it's a lack of respect for anybody other than themselves, because it's all the Me Too generation. You know, we have the, yeah, it's kind of amazing that we have that hashtag Me Too, because it's all about that generation, Me Too. You know, we had Me Too before we had the hashtag Me Too. Anybody realize that? Well, we did. Anyway, Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. Now let me set this up for you. We're in the midst of one of the best economies ever. Not in the last, you know, 10 years or 20 years, or not in the last 4 or 5 presidents. One of the best economies ever. in the history of this country, possibly the history of the world right now, the United States is now experiencing one of the best economies ever. By looking at all the numbers, we've got no inflation. We've got unemployment that is low and dropping. We've got real full employment that's up and rising. We've got underemployment dropping because people are getting real jobs that are paying real wages, living wages, what have you. Notice that you don't get the Democrats are still talking about this $15 minimum wage. But they haven't forgotten it. And how do I know? Because during this booming economy, folks, when poverty is dropping, when the number of people on SNAP or food stamp programs is actually dropping by millions, when the number of people on other various welfare programs is dropping in the millions of dropping off because the economy is so good and they're getting such good jobs in Chicago, where it is still one of the murder capitals of the planet. Well, I shouldn't say the planet, because there are some foreign countries that are just absolutely horrible. Rio right now, what, 54 murders a day on average? Did I read that right? That's ridiculous. Hey, you want to go to Brazil? Oh, hell no. You go down there, you get killed. But one of the murder capitals in this country is Chicago. One of the violence capitals in this country is Chicago. Run by Democrats, I might add, for decades now. Almost completely and exclusively. I mean, I guess there's, you know, every, you know, in the city council, you get a Republican here or there, but this is a Democrat-run city. And even Chicago has experienced, pieces of the Trump economy. So Rahm Emanuel has decided, well, you know what? We've got all this wonderful violence going on. Now, most of the violence is happening where? In the black neighborhoods. No, folks. The problem with Chicago is all of Chicago is not experiencing. Now, I know people who live in Chicago, personally. And I've asked them, I said, "What? Aren't you afraid to walk?" No. It's only in like two neighborhoods in Chicago, and we're nowhere near those neighborhoods. So you guys feel completely safe. Oh, yeah, we walk the streets late at night. No problem. We just don't go in those neighborhoods. Those neighborhoods, oh, yeah, that's the black neighborhood. Really? No, yeah. Well, the people I know who live in Chicago, they're white. Yeah, all the problems are in those two neighborhoods. Oh, okay. I get it. But even in those neighborhoods, there has been some growth going on. There has been a drop in minority unemployment within the city of Chicago. Now, Rahm sees this, and he's thinking, damn, we're losing control. So how's he going to keep control? Oh, Rahm Emanuel has decided that he's going to, quote unquote, look into a program that's going to be kind of akin to what President LBJ did back in the 60s with the welfare program. Chicago sets up universal income task force as city seeks ways to tackle poverty. How about you tackle poverty by reducing violence in the city? Or in those neighborhoods, and bringing more opportunity for jobs and businesses in those neighborhoods. That'll do it. Otherwise, if you give a bunch of poor people some money, and they say, hey, I got me some money, I can move out of this shithole and move into, you know, a good neighborhood. Well, now you're gonna spread the crime and trouble to the other neighborhoods of Chicago. I'm just saying. Rod, are you saying blacks should only stay where they're at? No. I'm saying you don't export your problems. That's not the way to bring the number of problems down, because if you export your problems to other neighborhoods, it's only going to blow up the entire city. Right now, it seems that the trouble seems to be confined to a couple of neighborhoods in the city. You want the entire city to be up in flames? And not just a couple of neighborhoods? Well, That's not his intention. Trust me, that's not Rahm's intention. Of course not. His intention is to keep black folk under Democrat thumb. That's exactly what Lyndon Baines Johnson did when he introduced the welfare program. He's on tape. We've got tapes of LBJ saying it. Is that true? Did you know that Snope says that that's not true? This is why I don't trust Snopes. Like, really. So the presidential audio tapes that have been released before of LB saying, we'll have those niggers voting for us for, you know, years to come, basically is what he said. And yes, he used the N-word when he was describing his welfare program. But yet Snope says it's not true. Okay, must be a voice impersonator then. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel will form a task force that will consider implementing the so-called universal basic income program in the city as the embattled mayor seeks to cement his progressive legacy after promising not to run for another term. Oh, so he wants to cement his complete and utter failure for others to deal with. Kind of like LBJ. LBJ didn't run for re-election, did he? No. So in order to cement his failure of administration, he came up with war on poverty and the welfare system. This is Democrats. What was one of the worst public works and public ideas ever to be fomented on the American people? Well, it was welfare and then the so-called projects. How many of those so-called projects, project neighborhoods, got torn down? They were built in the 60s and early 70s, and then come the 90s and early 2000s, and a lot of them got torn down because they were dilapidated, they were run down, they were crime-infested. And all it did was promote generation after generation after generation of poverty, welfare recipients. That's not what we were told. It's not what the American people were told was welfare was supposed to be for. Oh, it's going to be a hand up. We're going to help these poor black people. Now, I know that there are a lot of people that say, well, there are more whites on welfare than blacks, Rod. Did you know that? Well, yeah, because, you know, at one time, blacks were only like 13% of the population, and whites were well over 50% of the population. So, of course, they had more numbers. But the problem was, is that a lot of people, like in places like, you know, Appalachia and coal miner's daughter type of stuff, those people didn't take welfare. They didn't want government money. They had too much pride. But LBJ convinced blacks that you deserve this because this is like reparations. Where do you think they got the idea for reparations from? Was that a new idea? No, that came from the LBJ administration. It was designed and meant for blacks, but the only way they could get it passed is to make it, you know, and make it a law without it being unconstitutional, is make it available to everybody. But it was designed for blacks. It's exactly what it was designed for. So Chicago Rahm Emanuel wants to take that type of mentality and put it in something new called universal basic income. Now, this universal basic income is different from regular welfare. Is that universal basic income is basically, well, this is, you know, it's like you have a job and you're getting a salary. There are no strings attached. Wait, no strings attached. So that means that what you're going to do is give people, well, in this particular case, a paltry $500 a month. Now, first of all, folks, I am not for universal basic income at all. Not at all. But if you're going to do it, make it significant enough for people to be able to actually utilize. This is what he wants to do. Chicago's Northside Alderman Amiya Power introduced a resolution calling upon the mayor to launch a pilot program to pay 1,000 families. Now, I don't know how they're going to determine what a family is in Chicago in the black neighborhood, because we know families have been decimated. But 1,000 families, $500 every month. What the hell is $500 going to do except for maybe pay for half their drug habit every month? Now, I'm not being facetious about this at all. $500 is going to help whom? Now you got to understand that people in poverty are not like middle class people. You know, I've said this before. Most middle class families, you know, when they have troubles making ends meet, all they really need is about $200 more per month to make ends meet. That's not the same for poor or poverty stricken families. You know, they're going to need a whole hell of a lot more than $200 or $500 a month. But you want to give them no strings attached, so now they can take that $500. Along with every other welfare program, I guess, that could be available to them. Where did I see this the other day? No, it was over the weekend. And I hate when I see stuff over the weekend because a lot of times it doesn't make it to the week for me. So I have to run by memory on this stuff because I don't archive everything I see. And sometimes I'm on the go and on the run and I see it someplace else, like in a newspaper. Is it in some states the welfare? If you use all the welfare that's available to you in some states, it's the equivalent of $28,000 a year. Wow, that's not. Why would you get a job then? In any case, I understand that you know you can't live on $28,000 in California, but anybody else know that? That the most liberal run places or states in this country are also the most expensive? Anybody ever notice that? Now, take your cities. Now, most of our major cities are run by liberals. L.A., San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Boston. Look how expensive it is to live in those cities. And yet they talk. And a lot of those cities have what? Rent control systems. Not all of them, but many of them do. And if you want to build new residential properties in some of these cities, if they allow building, you got to have some affordable housing units. In other words, some of the units in your apartment complex or condo complex has got to be available at under market rates. Isn't that lovely? So you're telling somebody who's spending their own money to build some real estate, oh, if you're going to build that, you can use your money. That's fine, because we're not going to give you any. The city's not going to give you any. But, you know, out of every 10 units that you build, two of them have got to be under market rent control types of units. And they got to be exactly the same as all the others. They can't be worse. They can't be smaller. You know, they got to be just as nice as the others. So wait, you want me to spend, I don't know, let's say $75,000 per unit to build. And so that means I got to take $150,000 and not be able to make back my $150,000. Oh, no, you can make it back. It's just going to take you like three times as long. Because instead of charging the market rate of, you know, $1,000, you're going to have to make those two units available for $500 each. So I'm going to be giving away the equivalent of a free unit every month in perpetuity as long as I own this building. Yep, that's the way it works. If you want to build it, that's the way you got to do it. Well, where do you think that building owner is going to make up that lost revenue? He's not going to take it out of his own pocket. You know, yeah, we said that these 10 units are going to run for $1,000 a piece, but we got to have two of them being, you know, for poverty people, underprivileged, that kind of thing. So we got to make up the difference. So these other eight units, they're not $1,000. They're $1,200 a month. We got to make up the difference. They're not. Landowners are not going to take the money out of their own damn pocket. And I don't blame them. So it's just like the tax thing. Property taxes go up, so does your rent. So now we've got Chicago who wants to try this universal income, where it was first touted and tried, where everybody knew about it, was in Finland, and they said, you know what? This is a huge failure. We're gonna stop doing it. And we don't have an alternative plan in place because this is such a huge failure. We've got to go back to the drawing board because this doesn't work. And everybody in every liberal in the U.S. looked at Finland. See, look, they're doing it. But none of them are saying that, oh, Finland, stop. No, they're saying, hey, let's keep doing it. Let's do it here and let's do it here. You got a city in California that wants to try. It's all $500, too. Is this a universal, basic, universal income type of number, $500? It seems like they all want to give Finland didn't give five. They gave more than $500, but they wanted $500 here in the U.S. I mean, are you kidding me? In some places, $500 doesn't pay their energy bills. But it's a help. It's a help, Rod. It's helping all these people. No, it's not helping anybody. It's ridiculous. Oh, we're going to give you $500. If you got a family of four or five or six, and don't doubt me, a lot of these single mothers have, they've got four or five or six kids by at least two or three baby daddies. Well, their food bill is $500. You just might as well give them food stamps every month then. I mean, what's this giving? And make sure that the kids are being fed because, at least with the food stamp program, they are limited to buying certain things. Basic income, there's no strings attached. Spend it on anything you want. Mama needs her crack, baby. You don't need to eat today. No, I'm not kidding. Rod, isn't that being a little racist? No, remember, I'm black. I can't be racist. Hey, folks, I cannot tell you what a bad idea this is and what it is actually meant to do. It's actually meant to keep people from actually looking forward to trying to better their lot in life by being ambitious. Because what's the first thing when they thought Obama was going to hand out wads of cash? Where's Obama getting the money from? I don't care. I'm going to get some Obama cash. Maybe it comes from his stash. Anybody remember that? Obama's got a stash of cash that he's going to hand out. Well, get me an Obama phone. Get me an Obama kitchen. An Obama car. Get me some Obama cash, too. People remember that? Well, Rahm is trying to do it again. The only thing is going to do is keep these families in poverty.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some